And turn with me to a very familiar passage, but do not let familiarity breed contempt tonight. Joshua the first chapter. And whatever we're doing, by God's grace, we do it. There's a method to it. There's a reason for it. And we try to follow the leadership of the Lord. And the Lord is led in this direction. This is the bookend to what was preached this past Sunday morning. And this will allow you to be able to grab something that you can put into your life tonight. Now, I will say this. You can't be a good father without this. You can't. You can't be a good mother without this. You can't be a good servant of God without this. You cannot, and I'll put three or four exclamation points behind this sentence, you cannot keep the word of God without this. You can't. It's impossible to do it without this. And statements that I make to you, I just don't get up here and just, you know, let things fly out of my mouth. I think them through, I ponder them, and then make those statements. And so please give me a good hearing tonight. If you're going to be a good Christian, notice why I said that, a good Christian, then you must have this. If you're going to be successful in business, you've got to have this. Whatever it is that you desire to do, you're going to have this. You need to have it. Joshua chapter 1, notice verse number 6. Joshua chapter 1, notice verse number 6. Only one verse I'm going to read initially. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 6 says, "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." I want to speak tonight on one word. Sunday I spoke on fear. Tonight I want to speak on courage. Courage. You've got to have this. Today I was in a situation, and when I was in this situation, didn't even know it, and I'd already prepared this yesterday, but when I was in a situation today, and while I was in that situation, I was praying. I said, "Lord, give me courage." Courage. You've got to have it. It works in every area of life. Let's get some help. Father, thank you today for what you have allowed us to be able to experience this week since this past Sunday. And Father, now you have allowed us to be able to assemble here this evening around your word. Father, thank you for these who have pressed their way out. And I pray tonight that you would allow me to be able to instill something in all of our lives that we can put into shoe leather, that we can use, so that we can dispel fear in our lives and that we can be successful in whatever we desire to do and those things you've called us to do. And Father, even as being good parents, Father, I ask now that you'll just help do what only you can do, save any that's lost and help every believer. Please, Father, I beg you in Jesus' name, amen. One thing that's needed, it really is, and I've already elaborated on it just a little bit. One thing that's needed in this 21st century is people of courage. It really is. Sometimes it's something we don't think a lot about, but I'm telling you, we must have it in order to be successful in any area. Your children need to have courage. You need to teach your children, you know, how to stand up for themselves and have courage when they are at school, not to blend in with the crowd. One thing that allows a young person to blend into a crowd is a lack of courage to be different from everybody else. And even as parents, regardless of the age of your children, they ought to know and be taught, especially when they're young, to be different, to stand out, to have some courage. Now, I will tell you something about courage. Courage is not primarily taught. You can teach it, but courage is often caught. In other words, you gain courage by the people you associate with. You find a child. When a child is young, they think that their father can do anything. They think that their mother is the greatest person who ever walked the face of the earth. And if you're not careful, a child can get a parent into trouble. You can take them to the park, and they can start up with another kid. My daddy can beat your daddy. And before long, if there's not a divine intervention, there's going to be a dust bowl somewhere. Unless an arbitrator is called in. Children believe that their parents can do tremendous things, especially when they're young. They may be afraid of something, but just that parent's presence with them can give them courage to be able to do something that they may not have been able to do on their own. Adults need courage. In every aspect of life, you need to have it. And when one has to take a stand, you definitely have to have courage. You need to have it. You've got to have it. Now, when you need to take a stand, sometimes there'll be questions that you'll have to ask. And different people can ask different questions depending upon what's going on the inside. And a person who's a coward, when they have to take a stand, they might ask the question, is it safe? Is it safe? A person who tried to take an expedient route, they might ask the question, well, is it politically correct? A person who's lifted up in vanity, they might ask the question, well, is it popular? But a person who operates in the realm of courage will ask this question, is it right? And if it's right, I'm standing regardless of if it's popular, politically correct, expedient, whatever it is, I'm taking my stand. Someone said courage is doing what you are afraid to do. Remember, I told you Sunday how we all experience fear, and God knows that. That's why God gives us certain things in his word to get rid of fear, because fear has torment. It'll torture you. Well, courage is doing what you need to do even when you're afraid. Joshua evidently was experiencing fear. I even mentioned Sunday how even in that 8th chapter he was experiencing fear because of what happened in the 7th chapter when they lost 32 people to a small town called Ai because of the sin of Achan, but he didn't know about the sin at that particular time, but God later revealed it. But there was fear that literally had set in, fear about whether the nation would be able to stand up against those other nations around them. Fear had set in, and God had to come to him in the 8th chapter and say, fear not. Well, now he's about to go into the promised land, and God has come to him, and God has told him how he needs to be strong and very courageous. Mark Twain once said, and I'm not lifting him up as a role model, but Mark Twain once said, courage is resistance to fear, mastery of fear, but not absence of fear. In other words, you learn how courage helps you to learn how to handle the fears when they come. John Wayne, and I'm definitely not lifting him up as a role model, but as somebody has said, a broke clock is right twice a day. If the hands never move, it's right twice a day. So he was right on this statement that he made. John Wayne said, courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyway. See, that's what courage is all about. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 5, for when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side, without were fightings, within were fears. Paul had fears, but guess what Paul did? Paul just saddled up anyway. If you understand what Paul even meant when he said how when he came into Macedonia, You remember when Paul had that supernatural vision that he received while he was there in Troas from a person of Macedonia saying, come over and help us. And he came into that area of Macedonia. And when he came in there, he started that church of Philippi. You remember how there was a demon-possessed girl that literally was following Paul around, and several other things happened. Paul eventually got thrown into prison and, of course, led the Philippian jailer and later his family to God and started a church there in Philippi. Even though he had started a church, had seen people saved, yet he was dealing with fears because of the things that he was experiencing, but he did not allow his fears to stop him. Courage took over, and he got the job done. Most of life centers around courage to conquer our fears. Courage works in every area. Think about this. What is probably the number one reason why most Christians do not communicate their faith? I said the number one reason. Now, there can be several reasons. Some can just be discouraged because they have tried to communicate their faith and they have not had results. But that would not be the number one reason. I will tell you the number one reason. One thing. F-E-A-R, fear, which is a lack of courage. Do you see how important courage is? Do you know I could preach on soul winning and trying to be a witness for Christ and sharing the gospel? And thank God I noticed that the track rack has been emptying out, amen, and that's good, and we just put some more in there. My wife made a bunch of them up today, and we put a bunch of them out there. I'm glad that the gospel tracts are going, amen? But I can preach on it all day long, but if we don't have the courage to take a gospel tract and give it to somebody, then all the sermons we hear will only make us more responsible when we stand before God. But it does not do what we need to do for us down, or it does not do what it needs to do for us down here. We have to get a hold of this thing of courage. Why don't many take a stand when they are out in the community or when they are in a particular place where they have to take a stand on the job or wherever? I'll tell you what, it's a fear of being misunderstood as a lack of courage. Why don't some excel in life? If you're going to do something, try to excel at what you're doing. But some, because as I said Sunday, a fear of failure. Courage is needed. Adults need courage. Young adults need courage. In simple terms, we all need courage. There was a test that was done by a university. They had 10 students. They had three lines which were drawn on the chalkboard. Three lines, very distinct. One would have been maybe yay long, another one a little bit longer, and another one a little bit longer, but not necessarily in that order. But what the professor said he was going to do, and they had already prompted 9 of these students to, whenever he pointed to the shorter line, that they were to keep their hand down. And you'll understand where I'm going with this in just a second and where they went with it. But one person was not told. And so he said that once he actually pointed to the longest line, in other words, the line that is the longest, he wanted everybody, when he pointed to the line that was the longest, to put their hand in the air, all right? And so what he did was he began to point not at the longest line, but at the one that was not the longest line. And guess what happened? When he pointed at the one that was not the longest line, 9 hands went up. All right, now one person kept their hand down, but then when they noticed that everybody else had their hands up, because that one person did not want to stand out, even though he could look at the line, they said he put his hand up. You say, well, I wouldn't do that. Maybe you have the courage to stand out, but you don't know that. Oftentimes we think, boy, I tell you what, I'll stand. It's easy to stand when 9 people are raising their hand, but when you've got to be the only one in the class who is standing, then sometimes it's a lot harder than what you think. But see, when we get courage, we will say, I know that's not the longest line, so you put your hands in the air if you want to, but I'm keeping my hand right here because I know with my own eyes that that one down there is the longest one and not the one you're pointing to. That seemed like a very simple test, but really it's indicative of mankind. Oftentimes, mankind does not want to stand out and be different and have courage. But see, that's what it takes. And that doesn't mean that you won't have any fears. But courage will give you the ability to get over your fears. So now, how do you get courage? That was my introduction. Let me give you my outline. 3 things that I'm going to talk about tonight. How do you get courage? Number one, operate with a purpose. Operate with a purpose. Notice Joshua chapter 1, verse 9a. He said, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Joshua had a purpose. Notice verse 10 and verse number 11. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals. For within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. Joshua had a purpose that was to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. And his purpose was what was used to give him courage. See, when you operate your life with a purpose, a reason for living, you will operate with courage. See, when you go to college, when you go to work, when you're in your community, there ought to be a purpose in all of that. And our purpose is and should be to bring honor and glory to the Lord. And when we determine in our hearts and minds to bring honor and glory to the Lord, it will give us courage to stand when we are the only one who is standing. A purpose. A purpose. What's your purpose tonight for living? See, don't just drift through life. Get you a reason for living, a purpose. And with that, God can give you some courage. There was a young man, you know him. He was given some cheese and parched corn, and he was supposed to go to his brethren. When he got out to his brothers, David, the young man, he heard a Philistine defying the armies of the living God. His older brother Eliab said unto him, now who'd you leave those few sheep with in the wilderness, trying to talk down on David? But David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? There is a purpose. There is a reason for being here. That uncircumcised Philistine, he has defied the armies of the living God. I've got to take care of him. And see, that purpose gave him courage. See, in life, we've got to have a purpose, a passion, a reason for living. And it will give you courage to be able to do things you normally would not do. David defeated Goliath because he had a purpose, a passion. Don't ever lose your passion. You say, but I've got some age on me. I'm 43. I don't know who's 43. I said, I'm 43. Hey, that's young. I used to think that was old. That's young. Amen. I can say 43 is young. Regardless of your age, there ought to be something that drives you. And that which drives you, you'll find out it'll give you courage in certain situations. I've told you before, I'm 50, and I've told you that several times, amen? Several times I've told you that. You interpret that, amen? But I still have passion.
passions and things that drive me. Yes, I'm a pastor, but I still have other things that drive me. I want to become fluent in Spanish. I practice it almost every single day. I try to listen to it. My family sometimes will hear me listening to it. Now, have it with me sometime. If I'm juicing oranges or if I'm in the shower or if I'm driving in the car, and I'll plug in my cell phone and I've got, good night, over 500 CDs of Spanish just on my cell phone alone, and I listen to it. But I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll give you courage. One time, my wife will remember this. One time I was in Wells Fargo, and I noticed there was a Spanish lady who was, you know, trying to communicate, and nobody in there could speak Spanish. And I was in the line, and I got scared. I said, why'd you get scared? Because I felt like I needed to help her to interpret, you know, to the people. And so I did my business, and I started to walk out. And some said, don't do that. So I turned back around, and I walked up to her. And I began to speak, and she began to speak, and I did my best to try to interpret. I'm farther along now than I was then, but I did my best to interpret, and we were able to get it done and worked out and interpret. Somebody in there asked me, said, how'd you learn to speak Spanish? I said, I practice at home. If, for those who speak Spanish, I would say, estoy estudiando español en mi casa, pero no en una escuela. What'd I say? say it's Instagram? Exactly. All right, there we go. So you got it, amen. So here's what I'm saying. So, but what is that? That's my passion. My wife can remember, I came out. Now, I told you, I said, I was scared. You remember that? I tell you, I was scared. My heart was like beating like 1,000 miles an hour, you know, just, you know, because, hey, I'm moving over into a realm that, you know, I'm not accustomed to. But see, it was my passion for trying to learn the language. And one of the tapes said, you've got to get out there and speak it. You can't just, you know, listen to it. You have to get out there, and you're going to make mistakes and so forth. But you have to get out there and do it. This past week we were at, or last week we were at some real nice clothing store. Very expensive clothing. My wife's know what I'm getting ready to say. Yes, Mega Thrift. Real nice store. We were at Mega Thrift. And I asked a lady who, you know, because they have, you know, Latin American people in there, and I said, can I say this to you in Spanish and so forth? Anyway, I asked her a particular thing in Spanish. She said, yeah, just ask, that's good. And then she quoted a price, and she said, all right, tell her. My wife was there. She said, tell her that in Spanish. And I said, in Spanish, tell her in Spanish. Now, she started giving me a command. She said, tell her. So I told her. And again, heart racing. You understand what I'm saying? See, sometimes we think that because we have fear, then we can't go forward. Paul and others had fear. Didn't come from God. Comes from the enemy, ourselves, because we're operating in a different realm. But our passion, our purpose, will allow us to be able to do some things that we normally wouldn't do, and gives us courage to be able to do it. And so what I'm trying to encourage you, no matter what your age is, find something that is your passion and do it. And then you'll find out it carries over into every realm. Now, our number one passion ought to give God the glory in everything. To have a testimony for the Lord in everything. And on we could go. If you have a purpose for your family, in other words, you want to rear godly seed, then it will give you the courage to do what is necessary, especially in those formative years. You know, we have a philosophy today that has been out for a while, Dr. Spock's philosophy. And that is, and I'm not talking about Star Trek either, but his philosophy. And his philosophy has been for a a number of years is very really a passive kind of philosophy. God's philosophy is for as rearing a godly family will entail and will have to be carried out with courage. That means you have to fear God and want to put something in that child's life regardless of what society says. Society will say things like, put them in time out when they are bad. I've told you that doesn't work. We need courage to do what the Word of God says, because any parent can love, but it takes a parent of courage to discipline. To discipline. The problem we have today is kids are just too spoiled. They really are. They get practically any and everything they want. They're just too spoiled, and they don't get enough of what they need. Today, what we call hyperactivity is nothing more than a lack of repetition in the seat of responsibility. That could solve a lot of problems. A child of 4, 5, or 6 years old can sit still in church. Somebody say amen right there. If they don't teach them how to sit still in church, see, your purpose will give you courage to do what is right. One of our children's in here tonight. The other two are downstairs working. But they know. They've been sitting in church for as long as they can remember. And when they would sit in church, just like every other kid, they get the squirms. You know what I mean? They get the squirms. Preacher up here, they get the squirms. They get the cutting up. So when they get the cutting up, what will we do? We get the cutting up. Am I right? What you do is you grab them by the hand. I've done this before. You've heard me tell it more than one time. In church. By the way, in front of everybody. That takes courage. Because see, kids know where they can cut up. They do. If they know they can cut up in church and get away with it, then they'll cut up in church. They'll have you pulling your hair out, Brother Larry. They will. I didn't, no pun intended, but I just thought about it. But no pun intended for that. But they'll have you pull your hair. I can say the same thing, amen. But they have you pulling your hair out. But mine would cut up, Brother Craig, amen. They would cut up. You know what I do? In front of everybody. I'm talking about the church. Sister Joyce, Gospel Light, pretty big church. I'd grab them by the hand and didn't sneak them out the back. I'd walk right in front of everybody. They had a little door right on the side, right at the front of the church. I walk right on out and walk right down through that hallway, out to the parking lot. I didn't want to disturb the service. Open the door. You can't get in the front. You got to get in the back where you got a bench seat. Get in the back, drape them across my legs. And I had already done something by the time I got them across my legs. Belt off. And went to town. Put my belt back on. People used to always come in when we were in church, sitting down, Sunday evening service. Your kids so well behaved. They don't move. Just so well behaved. You wanna know why they're well behaved? You know, somebody preach that one. Now, I'm telling you something. That sounds like it's easy to do. But any parent who loves their child know that's one of the hardest things to do, and that is to discipline your child. That takes courage. If you're ever going to produce a family then you, that it will honor God, then you have to have the courage to do what's right. And that means you have to have the courage to take a stand even in front of them and when they are not around, because they're going to watch your life. And it takes courage. 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 But you have to operate with a purpose. This past Sunday, I'm sure several of you came and stood up here on this platform. We're scared to death. Can I get an amen anywhere? All right, amen. I got one amen. Am I right? But why did you do it? You did it because you had a purpose. You said, I want to encourage the man of God, and you did. I want to encourage the man of God's a wife, and you did. I want to encourage the man of God's family, and you did. And your purpose allowed you to rise above the fears that had set in. A purpose will bring courage. That's why in any area of our life, we shouldn't just drift through. We ought to have a purpose that leads to courage. I could give you example after example. I've stepped in front of a charging dog before to protect a child. You say, why did you step in front of that dog? I didn't even think about it. It wasn't even a forethought. It just happened simultaneously because I saw the dog coming after the young child's leg. I'm talking about a young child, about 6 years old, running. Dog come at the child's leg. I just stepped in front of the dog, and the dog stopped and went away. And then tried to come back, and I stomped my foot. And then after I realized what had happened, I passed out. You know I didn't pass out. But I'm telling you, it was something, you know, you just did. I didn't think about it. I just did it. And you can look at your own life. If you knew that your child was in trouble, maybe they were out there in the street somewhere and you saw a car coming, you would run out and jump if you had to push your child out of the way. You're not thinking about the danger of yourself. You're thinking about protecting your child. And your purpose in life will give you courage. If you have no purpose, you won't have courage. But if you have a purpose in certain areas, it'll give you courage. How do you get courage? I said, number one, operate with a purpose. Secondly, operate upon principles. Operate upon principles. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 7. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 7. Notice, God said, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. He said, you're going to have to operate according to this word. In order to be strong and very courageous, you're going to have to operate your life on principles. It takes courage to live by this book, regardless of who it involves, even your own self. It takes courage. I made the statement, I'll make it again. Without courage, it is impossible to live by this book, the Bible. It's impossible. It's impossible. But when you determine you're going to live your life based upon the principles of God's word, the principles of God's word, and not the way you feel, it'll give you courage to do what's right, even if you have to stand alone. Excuse me for using another personal illustration. Forgive me tonight. But you give me a story, I'll use yours. What gave a 32-year-old young man, wasn't a pastor, what gave a 32-year-old young man the courage in 1991 to stand up to a number of preachers, and he being the only one in that room who stood up and said, no, we will not have a woman preacher in the pulpit tonight. What would give a 32-year-old young man who was preaching a revival meeting the courage to say, No, that will not happen. I cannot preach if that is going to happen. What would give a 32-year-old man, 1991, 32-year-old man, the courage? I tell you what it was. It's the principles in God's book. I knew what God had said about it. And so now I was faced with that situation. But while faced with it, I had to take my stand. And not one other preacher in that office, and there are about six or seven in there, not here in Greensboro, where I was doing the revival, that stood with me. Matter of fact, they all stood against me. And the pastor stood against me, which I don't even know why he even invited me there. I didn't know it until I got there. But when I got there, he told me, I didn't even want you to come here. I only brought you here because the people wanted you. I mean, he's the pastor. Now, when it starts off like that, it's not going to go very well. But God gave the courage to be able to stand up. See, if you will operate your life based upon principle, it'll give you the ability to stand. That's why it is extremely important to be faithful to God's house. Because God will give you principles from his word that you can apply to your life. What was it that gave Jeremiah the ability to be able to stand against the wickedness of his day? To cry out against the nation when the nation had turned away from God and had worshiped idols. What was it that caused Jeremiah to have the strength to say, I will go on, even after he had said, I will not go on? He found out that his word, God's word, was like a fire shut up in his bones, he said, and he couldn't stay. See, it's the word of God in you that will give you courage. People who will operate on principles will have courage. Courage. Most in this building tonight, I hope I'm right about this. I believe I am. Most, if not practically, everybody in this building tonight, tomorrow night, will not celebrate Halloween. Am I right? You want to know why? Because you're operating your life based upon biblical principles that you have received from the Word of God, because all of us in here, I'm sure, at one time practiced Halloween. I told you, we grew up with it. But see, once you learn biblical principles, then it gives you the courage to be able to stand, even if you have to stand against your own relatives. If you have to stand against friends, co-workers, and I thank God for those in this building. I won't call your name or your names, plural. But thank God, I know personally of some who have said, hey, I have stood. And I say, thank God for you. Amen. And we've got a few in this building who said, we didn't go along with what was being said. And I say, hallelujah to the Lamb. If you're ever going to make it in life, allow your principles to be rooted in this book. Everything you do, be rooted in this book. We need to be people of courage. Courage. And don't get mad at me for saying this. But don't allow your principles to change because somebody's skin color changes. You understand what I'm saying? Don't allow your principles to change just because somebody's skin color changes. Don't get mad at me. You want to know the only reason why I can stand behind this pulpit and preach week after week, cry aloud and spare not, because I base everything upon this book. There's some voting that needs to be done next week, Thursday. I believe it is the 5th anyway, 5th of November, whenever that is. There's some voting that needs to be done. Don't go there and put somebody in office, even if just on the local level, that does not stand by the principles of this book. Just because somebody's black, you don't put them in office. And you know me, I made no bones about it. I said it before he was president, and I'm saying it now. I'll start from the president all the way down. I didn't vote for the president the first or the second time. Don't get mad at me. But I base everything based upon the book. And if I'm going to vote for somebody, I'm going to vote for somebody who's the closest to the book. I don't vote for somebody because I think they're going to put money in my pocket when I know they won't, because I know their philosophy. But you don't vote for somebody for their skin color, whether they're black or whether they're white. You vote for somebody based upon the principles of this book. Righteousness exalts a nation, not a black person or a white person. It's righteousness that exalts a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. I know that won't make me popular. They're not going to have me to come downtown and to speak. They won't. But you always base it upon the word of God. And it's not easy. It's not easy. I saw something happen just this past Saturday. She didn't know I was going to say this. I didn't even know I was going to say it because I didn't have it in my notes. But we had my wife's mother just turned 84 years of age. 84 amen. And they gave the children opportunities to say things. People came in from South Carolina and so forth, and we had a section rented out in this restaurant down there in Archdale. What's the name of it? Rancho's, amen. All right, Rancho's. You talk about food. They feed you food at Rancho's. But we had a room rented out. They gave the kids opportunity to say things. My wife had an opportunity to say something. She didn't say she was going to say anything. But God gave him an opportunity. God impressed upon her heart. You know what she did? She gave the plan. Amen. Amen. Right. Told people how to get saved. You understand what I'm saying? Yes, that took courage to stand up amongst your family members. I didn't tell her this, but I looked at one of them. When the others were clapping, one of them, I don't even know if I should even tell you, even if you ask me afterwards. You might fall out and be shocked. But one of our close family members stood there, wouldn't clap, didn't like it. I could have fried an egg, Brother Terry. I could have fried an egg right on his forehead. If I had cracked it and put it on his forehead, it would have fried right there. He was so hot. Didn't clap. But others did. God gave it the courage to be able to stand up. See, she had a purpose. Yes, say something about mama. Thank God for mama. But there's one. There's one that's exalted above mama. See, and when your drive and your passion will allow you to be able to do things because you're operating on principles, you got your passion and your principles, you're going to have some courage to stand up. And if you don't think that was hard to do, the next time you have a family gathering, say, give me the floor. And then speak out and give the plan of salvation. Your tongue will be so tied. You understand what I'm saying? You'll be sweating profusely. Unless you trust the Lord to give you the courage and the strength to be able to do it. Operate with a purpose. Operate with upon principles. And here, lastly, if you're going to have courage, not only should you operate with a purpose, operate upon principles, but lastly, operate in the presence of the potentate. Said, operate in the presence of the potentate. You say, what's a potentate? That's somebody who has supreme power. You know who that is. That's God. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 5. God told Joshua, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Joshua made this statement. God made this statement to Joshua. And God told Joshua, I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee. I'm not going to fail you. I'm not going to fail you. That's what he's saying. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5 says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God told Joshua, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Same thing. Notice Joshua 1:9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Listen, when you know that God is with you, it gives you courage. God is telling Joshua in this first chapter, you obey me, and I'll be with you. God said, you be courageous, you be strong. And I want us to remember something, and we forget several things. I want to remember this. If God is with you, then you don't have to fear, because it's better to operate in the presence of God than to be popular. And I'm afraid, yeah, I am fearful in the right way. If there can be a right way, just being realistic, I'm really fearful. I wonder if as Christians, we haven't resigned ourselves to becoming popular. And as a result, we've lost our backbone, our courage. There was a time when Christians made a difference in the world because they operated with courage. There was a time when a Christian wouldn't allow somebody else to curse and use profanity around them. There were times when Christians had the courage to say, listen, I don't want to hear that. Don't use that kind of language in front of me. There'd be times after you said that and somebody else later on, they might come back and might mistakenly say a curse word. And they'll say, oh, I'm sorry, excuse me. And the Christian will say, well, I appreciate that, but you need to ask God to forgive you. You understand what I'm saying? There used to be a time when Christians had courage. Courage. They made a difference. I'm hoping by the grace of God that we'll have another generation of Christians who begin to rise up with courage in their soul, who will be willing to be different and to stand on the principles of this book with a purpose and in the presence of the potentate, our heavenly Father. And as a result, will be one who operates in courage. Let's bow for a word of prayer.